So in comics, famously, Ant-Man Hank Pym was abusive to his wife Janet Van Dyne. Like, that was a famous thing in comics. So much so that in one of the comics, he backhanded her into the next panel.
Wait,
Like,
Ant-Man, like the person, like I didn't see the movie, but.
that's why I specified. Not the character
Oh, okay.
Paul Rudd is playing.
Okay.
Paul Rudd is not a wife beater. But like in the comics, yeah, like he backhands her like into the next panel. And that's always what I think about, like, because I'm going to backhand you into the next panel. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to hit you so hard.
Oh, speaking of backhand.
Yeah, speaking of backhanding. Welcome to the Yowie Shelf. Grab a seat and relax. I don't usually get to do the intro. Pew pew pew. Before we get started, there is a mall story that I have to tell you. So I used to work at a kiosk in the mall after I worked at Hot Topic, and there was this mom, and she was white. It does relate to the story. And she has a kid, like a toddler. And she looks at me like she makes eye contact with me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what she wants, but she makes eye contact with me. And her kid's acting up. It's a white kid in a mall, so they're acting up. That was rude. But you know, it's a white kid in a
But
mall, they're acting up. So the mom looks at me and I'm like, okay. And then looks at her kid and she says, if you don't stop acting up, I'm going to beat you harder than Chris Brown beat Rihanna. And then she looked back at me, like looking for approval. And I was just like, no. Like, I just like shook my quietly. Like she was sitting on that joke and she wanted to use it. And she looked at me hoping that I would approve of this action. And I didn't. It's like,
you
no.
know, we know why she was hoping that you.
Oh, we know why. We know why. And she was really hoping that I would find that funny, that like she would be like the chosen white that the blacks pick.
Right. I mean, it's
But
interesting, like, for it to be centered around abuse as well. I'm like, do you know.
right, like I, considering the rates of domestic violence in African American households, that I would think that that's funny.
Right. I'm like, that's triggering as fuck, bitch. The fuck?
Yeah,
Like.
the fact that I've been a victim of domestic violence, you'd think, okay, cool, yeah, but pop off, I guess, lady at the mall. We're talking about abusive semis, guys.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about abusive simmes. Trigger warning, I guess.
Yeah, Aisha, you win. You finally get
Yes.
your trigger warning before we kick
Bam, bam,
off.
bam, bam.
Mostly just because, one, I think we're going to be really, really frank about it, which means, and I know I've had this issue in history and in my life, is that when you're really, really frank about things, sometimes it comes off as flippant or not as caring. I know at least for Aisha and I, a lot of it is just how we process trauma.
Yes. I have to really like try to temper my tendency to laugh
Yeah.
at things that are not, it's
Right.
not funny, but
But that's just how your
it's how
brain.
I cope.
Right.
It's a coping mechanism.
Absolutely. So we want to assure you all as listeners that like we're not taking this seriously. This is just how we've processed, because I think without getting too far into it, I think we've both had our issues with abuse in our histories.
Child.
Right, and that's not just like clout chasing. It's not America's Next Top Victim. We're just
Right,
saying America's Next Top Victim, my favorite show.
TBH, that's what that show should have been called because the way the abuse that Tyra. Anyway.
Tyra did abuse them. I think, actually, no. I think Miss J probably abused them a little bit
Oh,
more.
you know what? Miss J is. She a bitch.
But fierce, though.
Sure.
But yeah, like, also crazy. How many of those challenges, like, just did not help at all?
None of them. All
Do you remember the one where they were doing blackface?
I do. To this day, I still like the it was a different time because that would absolutely not fly. Like, I don't
not only
remember
would it
anyone
not
saying
fly,
anything about it
I
back
think
then.
because like it was really trying to be something. Like in my head, kind of conceptually, I get where they're going, but there is no way to execute that in real life without it being blackface. Like my brain kind of gets like, okay, we're gonna show different kinds of beauty. Well, okay, I get that. Like I understand, but yeah, like there's no real life way to execute that challenge without just having a bunch of white bitches and blackface.
Right. It was just so to the like thinking back, I'm just flabbergasted that it even. Anyway, see, I just derailed. We were talking about.
I was going to say, to point out my frankness, there was one holiday that I had gotten into a small verbal altercation with one of my abusers back home, and I dead ass said, "What are you going to do? Hit me again?"
You know what? I like that.
So that's kind of the level that we're working on, and if that's not sufficiently reverent for you, we understand. But yeah, like, I don't want anyone to get like too deep into this episode and be like, "These hoes,
Right, right.
they're making fun of my trauma." No, we're not. We're making fun of our trauma and the trauma of fictional characters. We don't want you to think that we're belittling your trauma. If you are in a situation where you are experiencing abuse of any kind, because a lot of abuse is honestly mental. Seek help as safely as you can. I'm not gonna promise that we're gonna put like links in the bio because we're not good people.
I know, and I literally put a note some in one live to put freaking links. Did I do that?
No,
No.
I sent her a screenshot of where she said she was gonna put in a description, and there was no description.
And I couldn't even
And
remember what I
you
was
couldn't
supposed to.
remember what you s so now it's just there, and I don't think we can change it at this point.
I think I can change it.
No, it's gonna stay there. No, we're just gonna leave
Oh.
it. But yeah, we're talking about the abusive semi trope, which I think is important to talk about because, especially like when I was coming up in the 90s, in 2000s with Boys Love, it was very, very prominent. And I know, as Aisha has mentioned before, that kind of writing and that problematic stuff was really what turned her off when it came to Yaoi and Boys Love. And it's one of the criticisms leveled that when people, talk shit about Fujins and Yaoi and BL, that like, I kind of can't say no to that. You're right. Like, I disagree with you on some of the points, but like, yeah, a lot of these guys are like objectively terrible.
Right, yeah.
So, because of that, we need to go over some vocab really, really fast.
Yes.
Firstly, with the word semi, which is usually the top or dominant in the party, a lot of newer fans aren't crazy about that word, or honestly, just semi and uke as a demi, because there's just a lot of bias in it. Like even like in real queer culture, we're trying to get away from like top and bottom and stuff, because there is
Okay,
like
yeah.
some misogynistic, homophobic bias to it. But semi is usually your top or your more dominant in the relationship. There's a whole list of traits that usually comes along with that.
Right.
Semei also comes from the Japanese word that means to attack. Yeah. It started as a kendo term. So to attack and then to block.
That puts okay. That's sorry, my brain just like.
Yeah, they semi and uke started as kendo terms, for attack and block or defend.
Wait, I just got oh my God.
Yeah.
Now I get it because what I get oh, that is
It is
clever.
very clever. It is very clever. A trope is a shorthand in visual media to get across like a point. So like the damsel in distress in a narrative is a trope. The MacGuffin or like holy artifact that saves everything, that's a trope. People will say that tropes are bad. Those people are fucking liars. Because otherwise there'd be, well, there'd be no media.
Right.
Like, if you get rid of, and there's also, so I mentioned this during a writing panel, there's also this thing called the trope trope, where if you're intentionally trying to subvert tropes, you're falling into a trope because you can't.
Right.
You can't, I'm sorry. Most writers who say they're subverting tropes aren't. You're perpetuating some other kind of trope is what you're doing. So people that think that tropes are bad, they can be lazy, but they're not bad. And the last one is abuse, which is literally any maladaptive behavior towards someone else. And I say maladaptive because I really want us to cover our ass, essentially. Because abuse, again, does mean many things, whether it's sexual, physical, emotional, financial. There's a lot of aspects to abuse. And there's a lot of ways abuse manifests. So I don't ever want to diminish one type of abuse over another. I don't want to diminish any of the seriousness. Like, again, like, this is not America's Next Top Victim. We're like, oh, well, you were only mentally abused. I was physically abused. That's worse. Okay, both are bad. So that's why we're using the word maladaptive. It's not, it is not a healthy or proportionate way to act out an emotion, usually anger. It's rooted in something else because we see it as control, but like from the person who's doing the abusing, it's, I love you so much, which is why I hit you, I guess.
Right.
So we're being intentionally kind of vague with the term abuse just because, again, like, I don't want to diminish anyone's pain, but I also like don't want a dick measuring contest of who's sadder.
Right.
Because
we're all sad.
Yeah, there is one thing in about neurodivergent spaces. There's a lot of America's Next Top Victim. It's like, I have this, and this. Like, look, we're all fucked, okay? Like, we're all using comfort characters. We all want to fuck fictional characters because real life intimacy is hard. Like, listen, man. Dragged again, sorry. So I have a note in here. We are going to cover both physical, emotional abuse as well as sexual. If that makes you feel a certain kind of way, this would be your time to evacuate the dance floor. Again, if you hear jokes or flippantness or frank discussions, it is not because we are minimizing or devaluing the importance of this topic. This is just how your two stressed out, anxious hosts talk about this stuff. So we need to mention that this is abuse in fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And Aisha and I were talking about this off pod because while, again, we're very cognizant of how bad physical, like, real person abuse is, guys, I can't believe that we still have to say this. Fiction's not real.
Right.
Now, can fiction inform real things? Yes.
Yes.
And I will fully advocate, as I've mentioned in other episodes, that me seeing abusive and problematic content in this stuff at an age where I had no one to contextualize it was bad. I will say that. But that's no one's fault but my own and my family's. A lot of that stuff back in the day was super problematic. It is still problematic. If anything, a lot of it has aged worse. Like, we knew it was bad in the 90s and the 2000s.
And now it's...
And then somehow it got worse. Like, honestly, a lot of the series that I love are kind of in that camp. Where, like, we acknowledge this was bad years ago. Now, somehow, it's more bad. Like, I think a lot of the greats are going to start having that reckoning. And, I mean, I'm not looking forward to it from the kids, because they're going to think everything's problematic. But, like, as older fans start to have discourse, like, I would love to hear, like, how we talk about, like, Antique Bakery in another, like, 5 years. I would love to see how we talk about, like, a Loveless or a Junjo. Especially as, again, like, a lot of these shows either come back or are being pushed by these big companies that have, like, 3 titles to their names. Was that shady? Was that? Oh man, In the words of Shangela, somebody get a lamp. It's getting shady in here. You know, some of these companies that have three titles to their names, and like all of them are like old and problematic. Like, I'm curious about how the discourse is going to be around. Because, like, yeah, like, I would love for people to re-examine Loveless. I don't know how anyone likes that series. I genuinely don't. It's one of the most problematic things I've ever read, and I've written literal rape for money.
Right.
I've written literal rape for literal money, and Loveless is a line that I won't cross.
I mean, like I've said before, like, that's a huge reason why I did not get into that, into BL.
So, Isha, why do you think this trope exists?
I mean, we all know that I am a messy queen who loves dramatic. I love the drama, the dramatics. You know, that's what it gives you.
It's kind of hot sometimes, isn't it? So here's the thing also, the trope of the abusive semi also exists because of bad writing. As Aisha mentioned, like, it's an easy way to infuse drama. Also see women being raped or having a sexual assault metaphor used to imply having to become stronger. It's like, oh, I had to be violated to be a badass. Looking at you, literally most Western media. Game of Thrones.
I was just about to say.
A lot of the abusive semi trope also is rooted in bad writing. As we mentioned, it is kind of a great way to just sort of infuse drama into a flailing narrative. But that's bad and lazy writing. We're just going to go ahead and say it. But a lot of it, especially when you have people that say they don't like 90s or early 2000s boys love, it's because it's just written badly. It's just like, it's blatant abuse, and the semi's like rewarded for everything he does that's terrible. And that's honestly toxic masculinity. Reads a lot into that. Toxic masculinity being a word that now will tank our comment section because a lot of people don't think it's real. So there's also a hidden factor in the bad writing part, which is something that continues to rear its ugly head, which is homophobia and misogyny.
Oh, of course. Of course.
So as we've mentioned before, especially with the Seme Uke trope, there is a lot of emphasis on the Uke usually being in a feminine or feminized role. So a lot of violence against Ukes can be read as violence against women, thus a self-perpetuation of female-led misogyny. So since it's often women writing these series, it does sometimes feel like it's just perpetuating misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I do think that there are ways to do it in a way that is less bad, which brings us to Aisha and I's favorite topic, which is framing.
Yes.
I think the biggest thing about the abusive semi trope is that as long as it is framed appropriately, and you will probably agree with me in this, is that the semi cannot be rewarded with a relationship, with the Uke's approval, or with society's approval for doing something bad.
Right.
We need to, as an audience, see, I'm gonna use consequence loosely, because like, if that's the case, then like everyone needs to be in jail. But like, not necessarily that, but there needs to be some admission that what happened was not acceptable. Even if it's not listened to, even if it happens again, there needs to be some acknowledgement that what just transpired, be it sexual abuse, be it rape, be it getting hit, whatever, that what just transpired was not okay. And no one liked it.
Right.
And that framing is what makes so much of that stuff unreadable now. Is that you'll get the sad, withered Uke, like, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to, like, okay, my least favorite of that trope is, like, because you'll see it a lot in, like, again, like, 90s, 2000s BL, where, like, the Uke is, like, calling some other male character who's usually, like, the Seme's best friend or whatever, and it's like the semi thinks that they're cheating and will like
Yep.
take them against their will. And it's like, I was just shopping for your birthday gift. I needed your friend's help, and I'm so sorry. It's like, you had a whole ass crime happen to you. Like, we need to call Olivia Benson with Law and Order SVU. Like, someone hurt you.
Yeah.
This isn't your fault. And again, like, that doesn't mean that like we need jail in every yaoi. Like,
Right.
that's not what
Yeah,
we're
no.
asking for. But like, you framed this series now as if, one, the Seme's anger was okay, that it ended in rape. And two, that the Uke thinks that it's his fault for something that isn't his fault and is
Right.
never his fault. Thus, then you've imparted to the reader that they could do something that makes them deserving of rape, which, no. So let's talk about why are so many Semis abusive?
Listen, okay, this is not an excuse, but it is an
No.
explanation.
It's an explanation. I use
Right.
air quotes if you're audio only.
Right, yeah. because often trauma.
Well, their excuse in narrative is trauma.
Yes.
Their excuse is, oh, well, I was abused,
So
so now
therefore.
I'm abusive. That's the only way I learned how to love.
Which, I mean, okay, sure. Like, in yes, that yes. I feel like if you're self-aware enough to know that this is how you learned to be this, then you should be able to not do that.
So remember how I mentioned in a lot of neurodivergent spaces, there's a lot of talk about, well, I have anxiety, hence why I've done this. Same. Well, I'm abusive because of what I went through. Okay, well, you said it. You said it, which means you
You
know.
know
And you know
you're
it's bad.
abusive.
And you know,
So.
and more importantly, that you know it's bad. Because you just said you didn't like it when your dad hit you, but then you hit your partner.
So make that make
So
sense.
yeah, so we've acknowledged, because it'd be one thing if, like, you know, it was, again, as a child, it was always framed as okay. Maybe, you know, the parent didn't talk about it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's different. If it was a different kind of socialization, blah, blah, blah. But you've acknowledged that it's bad and that you didn't like it. And then you did it. So you know it's bad. You know it's fucking bad.
I think about it with like my own, like literally my own childhood. Like I know what happened to me that I didn't like, all the things that happened to me that I didn't like. I recognize this and I try to not do those things. You
And if
know?
you've done it, you recognize that it's bad and you
And then
try
you
to be
don't do
better.
it.
I'm gonna say you try to be better, because
Yeah, that's fair.
I def I'm not gonna give anyone the mantle of sainthood that you must
Right.
automatically correct all of your
And then
behaviors,
just be perfect. Yeah,
because
that it don't
I
work like
know I still
that.
fuck up.
Same.
I have looked people in the eye and said, stop being emotionally manipulative as I emotionally manipulate them. Like, it's a dumb cliche phrase, but like, trauma traumatizes. It
Does.
literally rewrites your brain and your brain chemistry. You will forever react to things differently. You will. So in psychology, there's this thing called borderline personality disorder, which is a maladaptive way of coping. A lot of people have it, or they'll have tendencies of it. Really honing in on maladaptive coping. So I know I have some maladaptive coping skills. I'm aware of it, and I do my best to accept the consequences when I can.
Yes, same.
So one of my maladaptive coping skills is sometimes when I'm sad, I need male attention. Which means I'm going on Tinder and wearing something thotty. Now, if I receive nothing but dick pics all night long, I can't complain because I'm out here slanging it in the wind. Just pussy in the wind. Just, I can only complain so much. I cognitively knew that if I opened up Tinder with my pussy in the wind,
The dicks were gonna fly at it.
just cat out, just rah! I knew what was going to happen. I knew. There was a, oh, I have no idea why I got so many dick pics. 'Cause you pussy in the wind. But, yeah, it's a trauma is usually the in character in series excuse. And honestly, toxic masculinity, it's never explicitly said, but it's usually implied. So it's like, oh, well, you did something that made me mad. That was excuse to hit him. Okay. Okay. Like,
Lord.
Like, it's like, oh, well, he didn't say no at first. Okay, but he did later, though. That's not. So a lot of that actually is linked to toxic masculinity. Not to trigger any Americans, but literally look at any discussion on rape culture.
Yep.
That's all linked to toxic masculinity, that men feel entitled to have a woman as a prize at the end of their story, that their narrative concludes with being given a woman as a quest item, and anything that impedes upon that is negative, and that they have the right, it is their duty,
as a man,
press forward and receive that conquest item. To the point that it does devalue women and a lot of gay men.
Yep. Ugh.
We're trying not for this to be a downer of an episode, but it sucks. And it's sad because it's such a good trope when done well. And it can give you, and I say fun as in like, because I'm coming at this from like a writer standpoint.
Yeah.
Like spicy. There's so much potential when done well to really explore trauma and communication patterns and character psychology. There are so many opportunities for this to be interesting in fiction.
Right, yes.
In fiction.
Right.
But so often it's just done so poorly that you can't enjoy it. You can't, well, and enjoy again in fiction. You can't
right.
appreciate. Because I, again, as mentioned, I'm usually looking at sex as, like, a tennis match.
Yeah. You can read things in fiction and not want that in real life.
Right. Just because I happen to like a lot of abusive semis does not mean that I want to be choked on a staircase.
Well.
Without my consent, I do not want to be choked on a staircase. We have to include those that are consenting and have had intense communication about these acts beforehand.
Yes.
Because there's also nothing quite like going into a kink scenario and you're here and your partner's here. So why do we keep coming back to this trope? If it's so fucking problematic, why does it still exist? Well, as we mentioned,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, and fun is not fun.
Well, no.
But yeah.
Maybe you have this as someone who's experienced trauma. There is a weird voyeurism and yeah kind of an enjoyment to watching someone else get it as hard as you did, and that's something that I think a lot of people with trauma, that's a conversation they're not ready to have,
because you kind of feel like you're not alone.
Well, and for me it wasn't even not feeling alone, it was just, I mean, as close to masturbatory as it got. It was, yeah, get it. It was just, it was nice to see someone else get it. It wasn't even like, yay, now we have matching neck scars. It was like, yeah, get her. Just.
Oh my God.
It's like Coco Montrese in RuPaul's Drag Race when she was watching Alyssa Edwards and Jade Jolie fight. And she's like, get her, Jade. Like, sometimes it's just that. It's like.
I mean, I think for me, it's more so like, it's definitely voyeurism, but yeah. In like a, because again, like my life now is so just like.
Radically different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't even know. It sounds bad, but it's like, it adds some, it gives me a dose of drama. Like I don't have drama in my life anymore. I did as a. Listen, I mean, I could just like think back upon my childhood, but I'd rather not do that. I'd rather look at someone else's trauma than my own.
I will say also for me, I do have some desensitization because of trauma. That like, so like we mentioned with our different tastes, that I like kind of extreme things because it takes a little bit more for me. I want to say get going, but again, that makes it sound so fucking masturbatory, and it's not that for me. But just, like, it takes more for me to get invested. Because, like, I can't relate to a Pollyanna Uke who's never had a problem in their life. I can't really relate to a Seme who has never experienced hardship. Like, I can't. Not that I can't ever enjoy those narratives. There's definitely some that I have. But they usually have to have a lot of other stuff going for them. But, like, for the average, just pull a boy's love off the shelf. Yeah, I can't relate to, like, two high schoolers who are just super in love. And it's just 100 pages of that until they do a over-the-pants hand job. And, like, that's fine if that's what does it for you. But, like, I find that incredibly boring. So, yeah, having that added layer in a lot of narratives, if it's done correctly, for me is almost needed. I need that level of drama. I need that level of stakes. But again, that's just me, and I'm a garbage human being. But it is, I mean, it's entertaining if done correctly, and it's an interesting point of drama. It also, in a weird way, can be representation. I know I've mentioned that one of the things that I love about Yuki Eri and Yashiro from Twittering Birds is that they process their trauma in very similar ways that I do. Yashiro with his incessant making jokes and downplaying things and then turning his sexual pain into actual just sex was a thing I did. Half of it I still do. I'll let you guess which half. You know, Yuki Eri with how he basically just threw everything into his trauma inwardly but outwardly displays none of it is also something I did. That was good representation for me. It was also an excellent mirror then to realize you're doing a bad. Side note, one of the other reasons why I usually love this stuff is, again, revenge. So, like, if they're terrible to their uke and I don't like that uke, I'm fine with it. Throw him against the headboard. Like, there's some scenes in Gravitation where Yuki Eri is very abusive to Suichi, and I'm like, good, kill him. Throw him into traffic, you're not being hard enough. Like, but I also don't like Suichi Shindo very much, so.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean.
No. Don't placate me. Don't say it's fair. It's not. I'm a monster. This has been established.
Well, I mean, I've read one volume of Gravitation, and I haven't managed to get to the rest of them.
It's okay.
So I have no idea what happens.
You have a very, very long to be read. I mean, it's a perfectly serviceable relationship. I think a lot of that was stemmed in I had a confused boner for Eri in high school where I didn't realize that I don't want to fuck him. I am him.
Oh, yeah, no, I get it.
I don't want to sleep with him. That's not what I want. I want to become him.
Yes.
So, as we were talking about that, do you want to go over some of our favorite abusive semis?
Yes.
Literally no one on my list should be a surprise to any of you who've listened to more than one episode. There is no one in left field on this list. Not a single one. So you guys just get ready for that. I'm letting you know now, because I don't want to hear any hate in the comments. There is no one on this list that, for me, that should be shocking or surprising. Which is why Aisha's gonna go first.
No! I knew you were going to do that. So, okay, this was difficult for me because...
Yeah, you usually read such wholesome shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to mention first, and if you're watching the video version, I have books with me in front of me.
Got books!
Yay! Okay, because I like to have a visual sometimes.
I know.
So Escape Journey is a series that I recently read, three yes. volumes. I really enjoyed the story, but, and I'm bad at names. What is his name? Hold on. Okay, Tai Chi, this dark-haired guy right here. Mm-hmm. He is definitely, I would say, abusive semi-light because I think because the series are so short, there's definitely a kind of something happens in it that, and there are signs that point to, okay, he might be struggling with ab being abusive, and it could have been explored more, but it wasn't. So it kind of got quickly wrapped up. And a little too quickly for my liking. And then the rest of the time, he was good. And what I will say is, like, ultimately, he's a good guy. He made some questionable choices. And
It's very diplomatic.
yeah. And what I like about the depiction of this, though, is that although it didn't get ex although it wasn't explored as deeply as I would have liked to see it, there was an acknowledgement. He did acknowledge that he did something wrong. He did acknowledge that he had problems and that he'd been trying to work on them. And the Uke was, which what is his name? Naoto. Naoto is given the chance to, like, accept that, and for, you know what I mean, like, there's a point, brief, but it happens. And then the rest of the series, it's not really talked about too much. So I say abusive semi-light because it doesn't really go too far, but it goes far enough, and there were signs that it was possibly going to be explored. It doesn't.
I'm actually shocked that you had such a hard time with this because Scarlett Bettico has a bad habit of.
Yeah, but I don't own any of
Oh,
her
okay.
stuff anymore. 'Cause, and that's because of that. Like, so the only Scarlett Bettico series, or not even series, like, title that I really like is Jackass. And that one, if I remember correctly, doesn't really have, like, doesn't have a necess it doesn't have abuse that isn't dealt with. Like, there is some stuff that happens with a bully or whatever, but he gets dealt with. So
But that's still abuse.
yeah. But he also wasn't a semi or
Yeah.
a main character, I guess, too.
Scarlett Bettico loves that
She's
shit.
really does.
She
And
really does. And it just goes completely unchallenged most of the
it's,
time.
yeah,
And from
that's,
characters that you would think wouldn't leave it unchallenged. I'm thinking of Fourth Generation Head a lot right now.
yeah, me too.
Because there is no reason why. And not even, again, like not even dramatic, just why none of that was mentioned.
Right.
We're just gonna roll with it. It's
Yeah.
fine.
So do we want to go back and forth, or do we just
We can
want
go
to
back
do,
and forth
let's go back and forth.
so I'm
Yeah.
not, just totally making you do things. We're gonna start with probably what is the most obvious, which is an antique bakery, Jean-Baptiste Heavens, Ono's aggressive French boyfriend.
Aggressive.
Okay.
Understand.
Okay. Here's what I love about Jean-Baptiste and Ono's relationship is one, he literally says he's going to hit Ono. One of his lines is, "I am a violent man. I am more likely to raise my fist before I raise my voice." Why do I have that line memorized?
Because you are you.
And he says that to Ono with no irony. And Ono accepts. And then they break up because Jean-Baptiste threatened to break his hand. And when Jean-Baptiste returns, Ono opens the door and his ass again. Fully knowing this man is an abuser and that he is now complicit in that. He also, though, did the great thing of signposting to all of his friends.
Oh, yeah.
So when he did turn up late and some fuckery had gone down, his friends knew. So good job, Ono. You knew you
Your
were going
ass
to get it,
beat.
basically.
He knew he was
You
gonna get his ass beat.
foresaw. Because Jean-Baptiste was very honest about what he was going to do.
I'll never forget, like, I'll never forget that scene, because, like, I was so shocked.
That was such a well, because like especially for Antique Bakery, like for the tone, it was out of nowhere. Because by
I
that
was like,
time,
damn,
we
girl.
didn't really know about Tachibana and everything that he had been through.
Right.
Like, I think that
Right.
comes like 2 episodes later, I think. So, for the most part, the biggest issue we've had is Ono being afraid of women at a demonstration at a mall. And, like, that's it. Those are the biggest issues that we've had in the series so far. And then this French dude shows up, who's a French version of Tachibana. They are the same person.
Yeah.
Just a French Tachibana. He shows up. You think it's gonna be okay. Ono is not as excited as you think he'd be. And that should have been all of our first clues. We all should have known from that moment. It's especially, I know you haven't seen the anime. It's especially jarring in the
Oh,
anime.
I bet. Oh, I bet.
It animated, one, the voice actor they got for Jean-Baptiste, perfect. The French is very, very good. Everyone speaks very, very good French. I'm very glad because if they mispronounced any of those pastries, I would have climbed into the television series. But it's so jarring because, yeah, you think like, oh, this is Ono's master. It's gonna be okay.
Right.
Like, and also, what kind of guy taught Ono?
Right.
And was Ono's really like first real love that was reciprocated? Because I mean, technically, his first love is Tachibana, but
Right.
Tachibana called him a slur.
He did. God.
Called him a slur to his face.
Just, can you imagine how traumatic, like,
How traumatic, and that like he didn't forget and he can like talk to Tachibana at all.
it could not be me. Like, it genuinely could not be me, because I'm still mad at people.
Not to belittle what I'm mentioning, but like that's how you get school shooters. Like, don't do that to people. Don't like you embarrassed him in front of everyone. Like, don't fucking do that. Like, I
Yeah.
get it. You're not gay and he obviously wants to hop on your
Right.
dick.
But it's not that
You don't have
serious.
you don't have to do it like that.
So my second choice, is actually Kurose from Ten Count. He's abusive, but abusive in, a more mental and secular. I personally see that. I feel that he is abusive mentally and sexually.
How controversial and brave of you to say.
Yeah, I know. So, just
What
such a hot take.
a controversial and brave
Such
statement.
a hot take.
Yeah, no, he's awful.
It's terrible.
But he has a cute
Yet
butt.
I love him. Okay, listen. I am a whore on the inside, okay? I definitely do have therapy couch fantasies. Not about my therapist, absolutely not. Not about, ugh, no. But like the idea of a hot therapist being creepy is kind of hot to me. In real life, no. In real life, no, absolutely not.
I don't think anything has dried me up faster.
In fiction, I want to
I
explore that.
no, I don't. There's
There's just
nothing.
something of, I don't
And I respect you for that
know.
in fiction, but yeah, like nothing has dried me out faster. That there's
Really?
I think because again, like I'm thinking too much about real life. Just the idea,
Yeah.
there's
There's
something
something
that's
that's
so personal about that makes it like doubly painful to
well,
me.
and also you've had a long, like a lot longer, I guess,
To
like
be in
relationship
therapy.
with, yeah,
Yeah.
because yes.
Because like one of my therapists, I had her from like 14 to like 26. The same therapist.
Right. That's a long time, and
Right.
that would
So
be
the
so weird.
idea of having someone who knows so much about me and can prey upon me in the most vulnerable ways. Like in fiction, yeah, it sounds kind of hot, but like it's almost like triggering. It's like I've been vulnerable to you.
Oh, you know what? Okay,
Yeah.
I've mentioned that I am demisexual. I think I've
Yes.
mentioned this.
Yes.
And I actually think that I have this realization. I think that's why I like it, because I really like the, like, for me
Yeah.
to be sexually interested in someone, I have to feel like a
super
very
connected.
deep connection to where like I can be vulnerable with you. So that kind of like that's like that's the ultimate
that's
like
what he does
vulnerable
is he's
yeah
preying upon
yes
everything he knows that Shirotani's and
yes and it's so gross in real life. Please
yeah.
don't do that to people.
Yeah,
but in fiction
that.
There's something hot about it. I don't know.
There's so there's some psychological series that I can run with. But I think, again, like, it's because he's a therapist and he's, like,
yeah,
using, like,
yeah.
He's, like, using his tools to be. I mean, I say
yeah.
that, but I really, like, I think, so I guess I have that for, like, doctors sometimes. Because I don't usually, again, like, I don't trust doctors, like most black people.
Air.
It's still a little iffy for me, but, yeah, I can totally see that being a thing for people who like Kurose a lot. I think, again, like, if he wasn't a therapist or purporting to be a therapist, if he was just like some dude.
Is he really a therapist?
Yeah, did we find his like construction paper degree from ITT Tech? Or even if he was like a student, if he was like a psychology student and he was learning all these things and he's like, I'm gonna use it to... But like, again, it's that power dynamic that's so uneven.
Yeah, and it really turns you off. Yeah,
there's just so much trust that you're putting into a therapist. And then to have that used is just like,
I actually, wow, I'm learning so much about myself as I'm like exploring why I like that sort of like trope or whatever at like dynamic. And I really do think it's because like, just in general, I'm a very like, I like to have control in real life. Like I'm a control freak.
Same.
Okay. I've gotten better. gotten better, but I'm a control freak in real life. So there I do have this like this fantasy of just being able to like let go and to not have to be in control.
It's
of
one of the big reasons
things.
Why businessmen love being domed.
Yes,
it's because they have to be in control all the time.
And I mean, me as a mom, like you know, which I'm not like in control of, but like I have a lot of responsibilities.
You have a lot to do.
Like so when you and I've always had I'm the oldest sibling.
Yeah,
you know, like so my whole life I've been like put in this position of like you have responsibilities and you could do this and this and this, and so it's just nice to be able to just like let go.
When you're in subspace, you don't have to do any of that. You don't have any of those responsibilities. I mean, as someone who has domed before, I will always say it is your dom that is doing the most work, because we have to figure out what is too much based on what you tell us. Which sometimes, again, those levels are not the same. Where you say you can take a 9, you can't take a 9. And that's fine. But but it's okay that for a lot of people who do feel like... So I took my need to constantly be in control by being a dom and always being in control.
Yeah.
And usually in service of some kind. Like, I'm not a super abusive one.
Right.
But, do you want me to go over my second?
Yes.
I'm going to mix it up. Oh, God. There's still a prize tag on here. So, not on the cover, but Yuki Kitazawa in Gravitation. Yuki Kitazawa is actually Yuki Aries' abuser. Major spoilers for a series that's 30 years old. It will probably not impact your reading of it.
Right.
So, Kitazawa, we learn it was Aries' teacher as a kid, and Kitazawa was perfectly great until he got drunk and he sexually abused and molested Aries for many years as a child, which explains one of the reasons why Aries is such a dick most of the time. Kitazawa left such an indelible mark on the series through his trauma and through his actions, through the trauma he caused in his actions, thus that. So, if you notice when I talk about Gravitation, I usually don't call Yuki by the name Yuki, because Yuki isn't his real name. He took it from Kitazawa. His real name is Eri Uesugi. So, I usually call him Eri because that's his real given name. I have a hard time calling him by the name of his abuser that he took because he was so attached to his abuser. And that's like a weird trick of something that like one of my friends noticed, because she was reading my long gravitation thing. Like, you always call him Airy, and he never would like that. And it's like, I have such a hard time calling him Yuki, because I know what that means, and I know why he's doing that. And like, there are some great little moments you'll get, like with Airy's brother Tatsuya, who's like, I won't call you by that fucking name. It's like, I will not refer to you as Yuki. Like, that's just not something that I'm doing. And
Dang, that kind of makes me want to read to read it just
it's
out of
so good.
curiosity,
It's so
because
fucking good. But yeah, Kitazawa was Eri's abuser, and he's awful. And the so Maki Murakami isn't always a great writer. I don't think she ever frames Eri's abuse as okay, but because he was so young in the narrative and really saw it as love and as okay, he doesn't really talk about his abuse like it was that bad. So then us as reader don't really take it as that bad. So I don't know how much of that is just lazy writing or like an actual kind of decent way of depicting a not healthy way of processing trauma, because no one around him helped him.
Yeah, but
Like,
TBH in real life, that
that happens all the time.
it be like that sometimes.
Right, and it's actually, there are parts of it that are a very realistic portrayal of what happens when children are abused.
That's something that I kind of wanted to mention earlier, I think, was just about how like I've started to come to the realization, like as much as I'm like, this is fiction, this is fiction, a lot of stuff does happen like this in real life.
It straddles that weird line of like, is this actually a fairly authentic way to talk about one man's less than healthy way of coping with childhood abuse, or is this bad writing?
Right.
I think depending on what part of the series you're reading, it can be both at the same time. Kitazawa, for a character who exists so little in the main narrative of the series, is so important to the narrative.
Well, I guess I'll talk about my last
Third.
one, my
Yeah.
third and last one. You might be surprised by this one, 'cause I purposefully didn't like put down on my I didn't write my list in the
I knew about one of
script.
them. I knew about one of them because we talked about
Oh
it.
yeah. Oops. Oof. We're knocking stuff down.
Fucks up whole shit.
Like blah. So, Ishikawa from Where Has Love Gone?
He's terrible.
He is
He's awful.
awful.
And it's purely just because of bad writing.
Because of bad writing, he is
It's.
awful because of bad writing. Because otherwise, honestly, like, okay, so for anyone who hasn't read Where Has Love Gone, honestly, like, I kind of so this was given to me by yours truly, not yours truly, y'all's true, but how do you say that about Amanda gave this to me,
That
okay?
hoe over there gave it to
Yes.
me. He cock warms himself using a
It's
subordinate at work.
I personally feel like it's abusive, but the uke in the situation is not as bothered by it as
Which was worse?
which is yeah, I'm just like, why are you not? So, we do get a little bit of like a backstory before the actual scene, the real scene happens, and I guess the backstory is supposed to kind of like make us understand like why the uke is okay with this happening. I hate it. And Amanda is using air quotes for me, if you're not watching the video. But yeah, it's just really
It's a victim of bad writing, because again, like,
yes.
I because we talked about this. If it was framed differently, I think both of us would have stomached it. I stomached it as fine but lazy,
Yeah.
and Aisha stomached it as I hate this.
After I got past that, I was like, oh my God, the rest of the story is so cute. Like, it's, I really like it. And I liked them as, I liked both of the characters. I found them interesting. I found their relationship interesting. I did not understand. I still cannot really wrap my head around why that had to happen the way it did.
Lazy,
It didn't.
but
It didn't.
it's such an eye-catching opening. Like, you're either in or out immediately if you see that.
Right.
Because actually, Maiden Rose does something really, really similar. Which, spoiler, Maiden Rose is what we're talking about next.
Yes.
Where like you like volume one, you enter upon a talky, blowing Klaus, like in a train.
But that. I haven't read it, but like, that sounds
it's so good.
Fine.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to talk about Maiden Rose now.
Yes.
because this German beefcake over here.
My gosh.
He doesn't really know what no means. Even though he speaks Taki's language fluently. So there's no translation issue. So Maiden Rose is weird because it's basically a World War II allegory, and they take a lot of World War II stuff, but nothing is real countries. Klaus is interesting because he's terrible, but again, like, he's never rewarded for his actions. Like, Taki is the first person to say, that was not all right, usually in much harsher terms. He gets punished regularly for being bad. He keeps doing bad things, but he's regularly...
But at least it's acknowledged.
I mean, he's also, like, 7 feet tall.
Yeah, who's gonna...
What are you going...
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to imagine saying anything of sternness looking at Klaus von Wolfstadt, who's just a fucking brick wall of a man.
I would. But I'm also...
You want we've him already against the headboard.
We've established that
you want him to yeet you into a headboard.
We've established I have a tendency to provoke. I like to provoke you anger do. In people.
You do, and it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, it's he's so big. Good lord, he's so tall. Their height difference scares me. Their height difference is horrifying to me. But yeah, like, he's regularly punished when he does bad. And Taki is vocal about saying he doesn't like this when he doesn't like it. And when he does like it, I mean, he's still not super vocal about that. But, like, you know, he's working on it. It's
right.
The whole, like, it's supposed to be a whole, like, repressive culture thing where, like, he feels bad enjoying sex. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a comment.
It's hot and cold in the narrative of how consistent that is, which I think is just, like, I think it's trying to do something with his character that isn't fully fleshed out. Because I think the point is to make him somewhat duplicitous. Like,
he can like, I do and I don't. Yeah.
But then otherwise, but most of the time, it can almost come off as like, these are just completely different people who don't know what they want. And if anything, like, that does hurt the writing a little bit because. When Klaus does get visibly frustrated and takes it out on Taki, which again is not okay, you can at least sort of get in his mindset of why.
Right.
If he's been, because especially like for his story, where he gave up his inheritance, his land, everything to follow Taki across the sea to a place that does not like him because racism and to serve him. Alone in this foreign land after they had an entire history of loving each other while they were in school to then be blueballed as soon as they enter Taki's homeland and ignored because Taki has to keep up appearances. I can understand why he's frustrated and upset with the person who usually is very expressive about what they want. So, again, doesn't make it okay. He is very clearly told that this isn't okay, but the writing sometimes does too good of a job of, like, I get why you're mad. Not enough to do what you did, but I get why you're upset. I would also be upset. Not enough to do what you did.
Like, your reaction is it's a little much.
A little much. And I think, like, that goes back to the definition that we used earlier of a maladaptive response. I get why you're this frustrated and upset. That is an overreaction.
Yes.
To being upset. So I actually love their narrative. I think their romance when they're together is cute. Their dynamic is very, very cute in moments because really, despite how big and intimidating Klaus is, he really is quite the puppy to Taki. He will do anything for Taki, and knowing how much he's given up, knowing how much he does actively, how much he endures daily from the racism and everything. It's a lot. It's a Maiden Rose is weird because I get why people sleep on it, but also I think it doesn't get enough credit. Like, I think it's very, very good. It's one of those that if you can get over some of the problematic elements of it, I think it's very, very much worth a read. So those are our three favorite, air quotes, abusive semis.
Yes.
Sound off in the comments if you have any. Please know that this will be the one that we judge you on, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, because if you, listen, I mean, y'all saw who I picked. Mm-hmm. Mine are relatively
tame. And you saw who I picked, which was
The
one that murdered.
Right. So, I mean, I assume that most of y'all are probably somewhere in the middle.
Okay, somewhere in the middle of literally two extremes.
Yeah.
Okay. Please know that I'm very judgmental when it comes to this stuff. Especially like, so fun fact, I'm dating. That's right. I'm single. If I see certain combinations of words in men's profiles, it's like an instant swipe against them. So like, if there's any mention of Ayn Rand, no. If there's any mention of Jordan Peterson, no. If there's any mention of Joe Rogan, no. Alex Jones is a double no.
I feel like we're gonna get canceled. This is the episode that's gonna get us canceled.
If y'all have waited to season two
to cancel us, we did a good job.
Yeah, we've done great. We've said way worse. No, I can't yawn. It's only, oh god, it's almost nine.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I looked at the time. That was a mistake. Oh, okay. That was a really, really good episode on the abusive semi, a trope that unfortunately does persist.
I think it's...
Yes.
Changing. So, like, we're starting to see a wider variety. Like, that trope's never going to go away.
I see the opposite. I see a lot
of... Oh, really?
I see a lot of series that... are either like more problematic in different ways or are like so saccharine that there's no tension at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that the trope is ever going to go anywhere. I think it might kind of go underground for a little while.
Yeah.
Which is
fine. I can
see
that.
Cause like, I think again, like with most things, I think a lot of fan authors are doing it better, that if you're going to have, especially using already canon characters that we can, you know, surmise that they would probably be abusive. Or you could write a scenario where they would have abusive tendencies, because that's the beauty of fiction, is you can make whatever you want happen. But yeah, like, I feel like we're going to get a kind of people being afraid of that trope a little bit, because it does have such problematic roots. But it has problematic roots because people are bad writers. Like, just don't be bad. Get good, son.
I mean, also abuse is problematic, period. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
like, it's never,
you know,
positive.
Right. So that, like,
is there ever good abuse?
Right. Like, I mean, are people not allowed to write about abuse because we don't like it in real life? You know?
Well, and I also think here's the other thing, and this is definitely something that I look forward to having more conversations about in the comments, is how many little things are done in fiction, especially boys' love, that are hella abusive, but because of framing, don't seem abusive. Like, again, this was a big trope in, like, the 90s and the 2000s, where it's, like, stalking for love. That's
or the,
abusive.
I won't give up on you, even though you've told me that you don't love me.
Or that you're not gay.
Right.
I'm gonna fuck the gay into you. Our next t-shirt.
I think this is a great place to end the episode.
where can the lovely people at home find us?
You can find As a unit, wait, should I do the unit or the separate? No, let's do separate
It doesn't
first.
matter. You already did the unit.
Okay, as a
You
unit,
already
you can
ruined it.
as a unit, you can find us on Twitter at the Yowie Shelf. You can also find us on Anchor, and
Yes.
Anchor distributes our podcast across other platforms such
Yes.
as Apple Music and Spotify and
Yes.
probably others that I don't use because I use Apple Music because or Apple Podcast or whatever because
For the record, this line read, not something I sanctioned.
it's
I would like to distance myself from this line read. Thank you. As an advertising professional, I would like to distance myself from that line read.
this is not sponsored. I will
Yeah,
cut this out.
no, you can keep it in. I just want everyone to know, as a digital marketing and advertising professional, I would like to distance myself from that horrible line read. I don't have any issue with the contents, just how it was delivered. I did not sanction this. She was not coached. I was not informed that this was going to be happening, so I could not prepare.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter and find us on Anchor. If you can find me as an individual through Google by typing in "Mama Loves
I love that that's your default, is just sending him to Google. You can find me individually at Aichiyume on most places, and at Amanda Actually on WordPress if you would like extended rants like this, but just me mostly complaining about framing.
Which is a fun time, TBH.
It's a great time. I think the next post I have working on is about YouTube Rewind.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about Jake and Logan Paul.
Ugh.
Yeah. If you would like to help us keep the podcast afloat, I'm just kidding, we do this anyway out of spite. You're welcome to subscribe and become a patron at anchor.com. We appreciate the patrons that we do have. Again, we would continue to do this out of spite, but your support financially does
Means a lot.
it means a lot. We appreciate it. Thank you. So, next month is Aisha's birth month,
Is.
and you get to pick the topic.
Yay. So, more than likely, we're gonna be reviewing something.
Yes, because Aisha said so.
I'm not sure what, though.
I thought we were going to do a review on live.
Oh, that's right. We are
So
gonna
you still
do
have to come up with a
review on
topic.
live. Damn.
Ha!
Shoot.
To be announced.
TBA.
Even though I gave Aisha the outline yesterday.
I didn't
And
think that far. I
I
was.
felt bad for being late. I was like, wow, I'm really not giving her ample time.
I was like thinking. I was so focused on trying to figure out who my favorite of Yusuf Sime's
That you didn't read
are
down three
that
more
I
lines.
didn't.
Also, please appreciate on Twitter where Aisha gives me a heart attack by asking about a live stream that does not happen for, as of recording, 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Like, just, and I was getting ready to go into a meeting. So, full on fucking, like, I hope not.
I woke up that morning kind of like worried. I was like, oh my God, I forgot to create the broadcast and like promote it. Amanda's gonna be like annoyed. And then you weren't saying anything, so I was like, oh, maybe she forgot too. And I was like, let me message. Like the day goes on, and I'm like, I'm not hearing anything.
Right, and
Let me
mind you,
message
she
her.
texts, she messages me at like what would be maybe a couple of hours, if not maybe an hour before we would have gone live if I had forgotten.
Which, in hindsight,
Like, so like let's pretend I forgot. Let's go to a fantasy land to pretend I forgot. She texted me maybe an hour before we should have gone live.
that's
I'm gonna
plenty of
say,
time.
yeah, I'm gonna say maybe an hour. I'm actually physically going back. Okay, I give you 2 hours before we would have gone live. Yes.
In my defense,
In your defense.
I don't understand what time is
Yes.
or how it works.
Also, didn't you like just receive your second dose?
That, yeah, or
See, I was trying to look out for you. You said I
yeah.
was shady when I said you need to go to bed. You said I was being shady. I was trying to look out for you, you ungrateful bitch. I was trying to look out for you because clearly my Uke is delirious because she's worried about a live stream that doesn't happen for 2 more fucking weeks. And messages me before I have a meeting, which she knows about. I sound like very Daddy Seme right now. A meeting that she knows about. Text me asking about a live stream that does not happen for 2 more weeks. Clearly something is amiss. Something is rotten in Denmark, and my Uke needs to go to bed. She needs a glass of water and bed. But no, you said I was shady. You ungrateful little hoe. So, Asia's birth month announcements will be to be determined.
Yes, I will tweet it.
Which I guess is when I'll find out as well. Like, that felt shady until I realized, ah, shit, that's
But
not what's
it's
gonna
no, it's
happen.
the truth. It's
I wanted to feel bad for that being shady, and then I was like, wait a minute.
because you already know.
I know. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes.
We appreciate it. We know this episode was kind of up and down as far as
Yeah.
tone, but we're doing our best here.
We did it to ourselves. We picked this topic.
We did. If you want us to cover more tropes like this, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah,
That's a
let
good
us know.
idea.
I know, that's why I said it. Have a good night, everyone. Bye.
Bye. You're gonna make that into a design. I know, that's why I said it.
I mean, I can. I can. That's the problem. Don't fucking do not test me. I have infinite reserves of pettiness.
Whatever, I'm ending the broadcast. Bye.
Bye.